Okay, today's daf was Kaf Aleph. We're going to get into a lot of interesting historical things that went on with the Kiddush HaChodesh and different things that happened with 2 days of Chag, 2 days of Yom Kippur we're going to get into. So let's start. We'll finish off from yesterday's sugya. We were talking about this Sod HaYibur, about the book about the Sod HaYibur, what it says in the Sod HaYibur about Nolad Kodem Chatzot or Nolad Achar Chatzot, and then they didn't know what that meant. And since Shmuel had said, if I could do the Kiddush HaChodesh in Bavel, and then they asked him, well, do you know what this means? He said, no. And they said, well, you know, if you don't know what that means, then you really probably shouldn't be doing this. You might not know other things. And then the Gemara proceeded to explain what these things meant. And then we talked about the, if you see the Mola before Chatzot, then it means that at least 6 hours have to pass before you can see the new moon. When the molad happens, actually, right? So from the time of the molad, it at least six molad hours have to elapse. The molad is when everything's lined up, and when you can't see the moon at all. Once that happens, it takes 6 hours for you to be able to see the moon. And then we had this whole discussion about, in Rabbi Zera came and said, there's actually 24 hours where you can't see the moon, and we talked about that really it's 48 hours, and there's some issues there about the reality here. And then there was a difference whether you were living in Babel or in Eretz Yisrael as to how many hours of these 24 hours was before, was from the old moon and was from the new moon. Was it 18 and 6 or 6 and 18? Okay, that's where we ended off. So now we're starting 9 lines from the bottom. Amar Mar. Tzarich shiyehe laila v'yom min hachadash, or min hachodesh. There's two different ways of reading it. The night and the day have to be from... You could say from the new, if you say from the new or from the month. In other words, from the night and the day go together. Okay, so what does that mean? That means that if you don't see the new moon at the beginning of the night, then you can't say that today is the first day of the month. They want to know minalan. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, me'erev ad erev. Okay, what's this pasuk? We feel like I quoted the whole pasuk in the sheet. I lost my copy of the sheet. This past one. It says... Shabbat Shabbaton Hilachem, when we're talking about Yom Kippur, v'initemet nafshotechem b'tisha l'chodesh. We've gone through this pasuk many times, learned different things, Tosefet Yom Kippurim, Tosefet Shabbat, ba'erev, me'erev ad erev tishbetu Shabbatchem. And it says, from erev to erev. So what does that show you? That the night, the day goes with the night. Okay? This is, it's interesting, they don't bring v'yerev v'yibok here, right? That would have been also another proof they could have used. Okay. Rish Lakish Amar Ad Yom Ha'echad Ve'esrim L'chodesh Ba'erev. What's this? This is the pasuk that talks about matzah. When do we eat matzah? So here's the whole pasuk. Barishon Ba'arba'as Sayom L'chodesh. On the first day of Pesach, which really isn't really the first day, right? It's confusing here. Why does it say Barishon? We also did some drashot on this pasuk. On the 14th day of the month, which is Erev Pesach, Ba'erev Tochlu Matzot. That evening, eat matzot. That's when the mitzvah is, right? But from then on, it becomes reshut. Ad yom ha'echad ve'esrim l'chodesh ba'erev. You should be eating matzot from then until then. So now, the Gemara wants to know, what's the difference between whether you say it from this pasuk or whether you say it from the other pasuk? Each of them show, though, that things start from the evening. My benayu, abaye amar mashmut dorshini kabenayu. The difference between them is just a matter of drasha, where they learn it from the pasuk. No real significance. Rava Amar Chatzot Laila Ikabenai. Midnight is the difference between them. What does that mean? If you say Me'erev Had Erev, when does Erev Had Erev start? Erev starts Erev at Shkia or at Tse. But it starts from the evening. And therefore, if you see after night starts, right, before Chatzot, let's say you take that time period between night and Chatzot, clearly it's already the next day. But according to the last opinion, Rish Lakish, and here's a very interesting tefisa, we always assume that the halachic day goes after the night. Right? There's no such thing as midnight. Midnight doesn't have significance, really. But we're going to see that midnight maybe does have significance. And according to Rish Lakish, the way the Gemara understands him, if you were to see the new moon before midnight, okay, let's say 11 o'clock at night, you were to see the new moon, then you can already say that that day is the new month. And why does he say that? Because it says something very interesting. According to this pasuk, it talks about the 14th, you eat matzah in the evening. Now, when is the chiyuv to eat matzah? From the time that the chag starts until chatzot. That's why we try to eat the apikomen until chatzot. We have to eat it by chatzot because that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is until chatzot. Now, what's the issue? Then they say, and then you have until the 21st of the month. So when does the clock start ticking for the 21st of the month? The clock starts ticking for the reshut when the mitzvah ends. So the mitzvah ends at midnight. So then the clock ticks for another, and I never heard anybody say that there's a mitzvah to eat matzah, motzei, Pesach, but that's the way the Gemara is understanding it, that when it counts the days, then it's going until ba'erev, until midnight. And therefore they say that according to him, it would really be midnight, which is interesting. Okay, so for this issue of the day going by the night would start at chatzot, so therefore if it was before chatzot, it would be able to be counted as the new moon. Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rav Nachman. Now we're going to get into Yom Tov Sheni. Kol Sveika Lekameh Shedanim, Kol Sveika Lekameh Shedina. Every safek we have goes before. What does that mean? It means Lemeimer Dechamesh Sar Vishitzar Avdina, Arba Sar Lo Avdina. Most of the holidays, again, Pesach and Sukkot, come out on the 15th. Okay? Now, what does this mean? It means that when we have a safek, which way do we go safek? If it's the 15th, right? But we don't know. Is this really the 15th? Maybe it's the 14th. Maybe it's the 16th. So maybe you should keep 3 days, right? So he says we always push it forward, meaning we count the 15th and the 16th, and we don't go back and do the 14th. Okay? So now they say, but why? Why wouldn't we also do the 14th? Dilma chasru ala av, chasru ala elo. Maybe elo was chaser and av was chaser, and we made them not chaser, and then we could be off. And then really, we should be doing it earlier rather than later. So what do they say? Tre yarke chasire kale idleh. It's very rare that you have two moons that would be chaser, 2 months that would be chaser, that would be only 29 days. And if such a thing were to happen, that both Av and Elul were chaser, people would know about it. So therefore, the only way the 14th could happen is if Av and Elul were chaser, and then it would be on the 14th. So being that the possibility of that happening and people not knowing about it is so slim, therefore they say we're not worried about that. Okay, now we're getting to a really interesting story, our first interesting story of the day. Came at a good time. Levi ikla leBavel bechad sar b'tishrei. Levi gets to Bavel on the 11th of Tishrei. Okay, you can imagine now where this is going. He walks into Bavel from Eretz Yisrael. He gets there on the 11th of Tishrei. Tov, you have to figure out, how did he get there on the 11th of Tishrei? If, in other words, we're going to see that he's going to say the 11th of Tishrei is actually Yom Kippur. Okay? So how is he exactly walking on Yom Kippur? Maybe he was already in the tomb before it started. Anyway, he gets there on the 11th. Amar, basim tavshila de bavlai b'yoma rabba de ma rabba. The Jews are eating lots of yummy food, right? The Bavlim are eating lots of yummy food on the big day in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, you guys are eating food on Yom Kippur. He says it in a very nice way, I guess. But he's saying, look, I don't know, maybe it's not nice, Doctor. He's saying, look, the Bavlim are sitting eating with the very top of Kafala Famadal. He says, the Bavlim are sitting and eating on this great day in Israel. So clearly what happened was, right, the Bavlim, what do we know? We know what happens nowadays. We keep things the way they kept it, right? We keep 2 days of Yantif, but we don't keep 2 days of Yom Kippur. You ever wonder why that is?
Because we'd starve,
okay? One reason is because it's hard to fast 2 days in a row, but it's the holiest day of the year. What if we're safek? What if we do it wrong? It's only 10 days into the month. The chances of the shlichim getting there, as you see, here the shlichim didn't get there in time. So what happens? Amrelei Asid. They say, can you testify? Can you testify that it really, that they did the new month on the day that you say? Amar lehu, lo shamate mipi beitin mikudash. I didn't hear them say it from the beitin mikudash. Okay, so now, what happens? Okay, what are they supposed to do now? They're sitting in Bavel. They decided, for whatever reason, that the 10th of the month should be, right? They probably also, I'm sure, that in Babel they looked for the new moon and they tried to figure out so they could estimate, especially when it came for Yom Kippur. They had to have a sense of what day they were going to keep. But in this case, so Babel, they decided, this is the day, and the Babylonians all did one thing. In Israel, they were clearly celebrating a different day. Comes the rabbi from Israel on the 11th during the day, and he says to them, listen, today's Yom Kippur. But then they say to him, well, can you testify that? And he says, I didn't hear the Beit Din say it. I know it's the case, but I didn't hear the Beit Din say it. So now, there's a bunch of questions. Number one, why didn't he hear the Beit Din say it? So some people say he left on the 30th. They made Elul. What's their mistake, by the way? This goes back to things we've been discussing. They said Elul is always chaser. It's another reason why the Bavlim assumed that Elul was chaser. Because Elul's been chaser mimot Ezra, remember? But for whatever reason, this year they decided to make it male. So the Bavlim went based on their assumption also. Besides probably looking, they also knew Elul is always chaser. The Eretz Yisrael, for whatever reason, made it male. And he must have left on the 30th when he knew that the 30th wasn't Rosh Chodesh, so by default, the 31st. But since he didn't hear it from the Beit Din, he couldn't testify. It's interesting, right? Like, you won't accept in court some, right, what's it called? Hearsay, right? It's hearsay. He didn't hear it straight from the court, he just assumed. Some people say that he left earlier, but he knew that they were going to make it 30 days. Remember, we discussed that there's sometimes where the way the years are going to come out, that they wanted to make it, they wanted to move the days, and maybe he knew that they were going to do that. Levi was also pretty an important person in Eretz Yisrael, so reasonable to know that he'd be in the know. Then the question is, it seems from the story, since he didn't testify, what did they say? We need your testimony. If we don't have your testimony, we can't do anything about it. And they didn't keep the 11th as Yom Kippur. So why, right? So there's a few reasons given. One is that there's a concept that the B'nai Gola, even though the Kiddush HaChodesh happens in Eretz Yisrael, the people in Galut are allowed to set the calendar, and only if they're proven wrong by witnesses from the court can they change it. But otherwise, what they say stands, and since he didn't have testimony, it wasn't enough to contradict it. Some people say that B'dieved, right, this is a B'dieved situation, they already kept Yom Kippur. If he had come before, then they would have changed it, even without him testifying. But now that they already did Yom Kippur, they weren't going to make them do it again. B'dieved, they were Yotzei, they were relying on the rabbis in Bavel who had said this is going to be the day, and therefore they didn't change it.
So anyway. No matter what, they keep it 10 days from the first day of Rosh Hashanah.
Yes.
Okay, so the big question then is always, why, I mean, yeah, how come there are 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? But so, if, because that should confuse everyone for the whole year.
Right, well then, right, you have to wonder what happens after this. Do they then fix their calendar to match up over time? I imagine then they tried to, you know, they made sure that the next 2 months were probably going to be male to catch up with the Israeli cycle.
Well, they would already have problems with Sukkot.
Right, right. It's the question, what did they do for Sukkot? So unless witnesses came, they probably kept it the same for Sukkot. They probably could only change it once they had another month and they were able to add an extra day, I'm guessing. It's almost, it reminds me a little bit when they have different parshiot that we read, right? And then they catch up eventually when there's a double parsha. You know, they don't catch up, right? When a chag comes out, there's a two-day chag and it comes out on Shabbat, and then in Chutzlaret they don't read, and here they do read on Shabbat, the Parsha Shavua, so they catch up only when they can catch up, right, on a double Parsha. They don't make a regular Parsha a double to catch up. Mm-hmm. So right, it's a big question, how you relate to, right, how you deal with this. Now it's hard to imagine because we have such a set calendar, but it's really a big question. And Rosh Hashanah, we discussed already. We learned about that. And that was all, when we keep Rosh Hashanah, it's not the same as all the other holidays. We don't keep it Mishum Safek. We keep it because even in the Beit HaMikdash, because of this fear that the Eidim were going to come from Mincha and they were already, it was going to be too late to do the Shir. Remember of the day? So they made this Chakana. It's going to be 2 days, but the 2 days are Aleph and Bet, right? It's not like a Rosh Chodesh where there's 2 days of 30th and the 1st. It's always Aleph is Rosh Hashanah. You know, the first day is Aleph Tishrei. So it's a bit of a different type. Okay. But we're going to see also here, it's not so clear that they always kept 2 days of Rosh Hashanah and exactly what. And there was development along the way till it got to what it got to today.
There must have been a real fear about messing up for Yom Kippur.
Yeah, I imagine. I imagine, yeah. Well, there's the famous story also from Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, which goes way back to Bracha, where we saw it there, and it comes up in another sugya. I forget, in Bracha it doesn't mention the Yom Kippur story. I forget where it comes up, but anyway, where Rabbi Yeshua had a different opinion about him, about what day should be Rosh Hashanah. And Rabban Gamliel embarrassed him and said, come in front of everybody with your makel and your tamil and everything on Yom Kippur. In other words, go be mechalel Yom Kippur according to your count, because I want to show everybody. This is a big power issue. Who controls the calendar? It huge power struggle.
But I think in that case, there was also an issue of trying to keep things unified.
Right. Well, that's the issue. Because it needs to be unified, who gets to decide? That's the question. There's a very strong concept to keep it unified, but then who's the one who's unified, right? We all know that unity is complicated. That's why we can't be unified, because no one can figure out who should we listen to. Okay, let's keep going, because there's a lot of stories that relate. Okay, Machriz Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan made a declaration. Kol hecha dematu shluchei Nisan, velo matu shluchei Tishrei, le'avde tre yoma, gzera Nisan atu Tishrei. Nisan and Tishrei, what's the difference between them? How many days does it take the Shluchim to come? Now, in Tishrei, there's less days for the Shluchim to be walking, because there's Yom Kippur, and there's 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and they don't have every day to be walking. So, in Nisan, they can leave on the 1st of Nisan, and they can get there by the 15th. But in Tishrei, they have 3 extra days that they can't be working, right? They can't be traveling. So, in Nisan, in Tishrei, it takes longer. So, what does he say? You might think that if the shlichim get there by Nisan, so you only have to keep 1 day. But if they don't get there in Tishrei, you're going to have to keep 2 days of Sukkot, right? So what do they say? He made a gzera. If the shlichim don't get to you, the messengers don't bring you the message for Tishrei holidays, then we're going to assume that for Nisan, you also are going to have to keep 2 days. Because they didn't want people keeping 1 day for Pesach and 2 days for Sukkot. It was going to cause mass confusion. People are going to start just doing their own thing, right? Just like you see here. Some people keep 2 days, some people keep 1 day. What do you do, right? It becomes a big balagan. So they said, if the shlichim don't get to you in Tishrei, then also in Nisan, even if they get to you, you still have to keep 2 days. He wanted, again, to unify things and make them clear cut so people don't get confused. Rabbi Ivu Bar Nagre, here we get a story. For Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Iklu Lahahu Atra, they got to this place, Dahava Matur Shluchai Nisan, but lo Matur Shluchai Tishrei. They came to a place where the Shluchai Nisan had come, but the Shluchai Tishrei don't get to. The Avde Chad Yoma, and they did 1 day of Pesach. The Lo Amru Lehu V'lo Midi. These rabbis, Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Rabbi Ivu Bar Nagri, didn't say anything to the people. In other words, they kept 1 day of Pesach and 2 days of Sukkot. And these two rabbis didn't say anything to them. Shamar Rabbi Yochanan, who's the one who made this gzera, heard this, v'ikpid, and he got very angry. Amar lehu, lav amr lehu, didn't I tell you? Hecha dematu shluchei nisa, v'lamatu shluchei tishrei, le'avde tre yom gzera nisa natu tishrei. And he basically gets angry at them, and he says, why aren't you implementing what I said? Okay, so not only do you see that he was trying to unify things, but you see it wasn't even totally successful. Number one, the people weren't doing it. And number two, the rabbis weren't necessarily supporting his gzera. Okay. Rava hava ragil da hava yati pata'anita tre yome. Rava would sit and fast for 2 days. Zimnechada, okay, so he would fast on, okay, yeah, it doesn't say in the text, if you notice. He would be yati pata'anita tre yoma. Okay? Now, zimnechada ishtekach kavateh. One time, it happened like he said. What does that mean? It happened that the shlichim came and told them, right? He was keeping 2 days, and in the end, he was the only guy who kept Yom Kippur on the right day. Okay? So, you have to understand now, what is the Gemara? Is the Gemara trying to say it was a good thing? Because at one time, it happened, Kavate, and therefore it was good that he did this? The Mefarshim have a lot of disagreements about what he did. And in fact, in the Yerushalmi, there's a big machloket about whether it's good to do 2 days of Yom Kippur or it's a bad thing to do 2 days of Yom Kippur. Okay? The upside is, it's Yom Kippur, and we want to make sure that you keep the right day. So maybe it's a good chumrah to keep. The downside is, number one, it's dangerous. Not everybody can handle fasting. Maybe Rava can handle it. Not everybody can handle fasting 2 days in a row. And number two, you have a problem of the tefillot. You're basically motzi shem shamayim levatala. If you're saying it the wrong day, then it's a whole problem with the tefillah.
Isn't that true at all?
Ah, yafet. But it's not. I'll tell you what. On all 2 days, you're keeping it mishum. So again, it depends what time period you're talking about. Once they said we're going to keep 2 days all the time, but they didn't say it for Yom Kippur, then there's no longer a reason. Right? In other words,
well, just because they said it, it's not a bracha. But why?
Right. So if the rabbis say that we have to keep this to remember this minhag, so then just like we have a minhag to keep Purim, right? It's a minha, right? It wasn't said in the Torah, let's say. It's a commandment of the Chachamim decided. So because they decide, we now can say Asher Kisham Tzavah Tzavah, we can say a bracha on all the mitzvot of the day, Hanukkah also. When the rabbis decide something, it no longer becomes a bracha levatala, because then there's a purpose. But if the rabbis don't say, and you just want to do a chumrah on yourself, that's a separate thing. You've decided for yourself. Who are you to, right?
But there's lahadin mitzvah. I mean, there's, you're not supposed to expand the mitzvah.
Bal tosif, that's different. Bal tosif, here you're keeping it, right. So there's...
there's an
established... Bal tosif is when you take a mitzvah and you add something onto it. Doing something twice isn't necessarily considered bal tosif. It's got very particular parameters, how you work bal tosif. But again, that's the big debate here. And as Rava obviously thought it was okay to say the tefillah twice. He thought, you know, there was a reason to do it twice. So there's a big debate about how we treat this. Rav Hai Gaon actually says something very interesting. He says that this sugya wasn't talking at all about Yom Kippur. And if you notice, I read it carefully. I said, Yativ b'ta'anita. He sat and fasted for 2 days. And it wasn't Yom Kippur at all. It was Tisha B'Av. He kept 2 days of Tisha B'Av and not Yom Kippur. Now, why 2 days of Tisha B'Av? I didn't see why he goes into it. My guess is, right, they talked about the burning of the Beit HaMikdash included into the tent. Right? So because of that, he fasted 2 days, and it was a separate thing. It didn't have to do with Yom Kippur. Okay? And then, and also, you know, again, because of Safek, maybe you just say, you know, Tisha B'Av. I don't know. I don't know why it would make a big difference whether it was Tisha B'Av or not, but he claims that there was never a minhag to do Yom Kippur 2 days.
And back then, when people traveled from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, did they also change their days from 1 day to 2 day of a
chag? So if they were in Israel, they would do 1 day. Yeah, in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, they were in Israel. They knew. It was all about not knowing. Nowadays, what's the issue? Because we're keeping it mishum minhag avotenu biyadenu, the minhag of our fathers. So if you're living in America or anywhere in Chutz La'aretz, you're keeping the minhag of your forefathers. In other words, the people living there, the minhag of the place where you live. In those days, there wasn't a minhag. In those days, it was just, do you know? Right, it was just all about whether you knew or you didn't know. Except for here, where we see, even when you knew in Nisan, if you weren't going to know in Tishrei, then we tried to keep it kind of unified, that we're going to always keep 2 days so we don't cause confusion. Even then, you see that there was some other issues going on. But
it's a bit of an existential question, because if all of Klal Yisrael is doing Yom Kippur on the wrong day, is it such a big deal? I mean, if they didn't know and they couldn't help it, and they're all...
Right. Well, that's what they're saying. That's exactly what they're saying. What they're saying is it doesn't matter what reality is. Now, Rava decided, I'm going to be machmir on myself because I want to be Yotze. But that's not the norm. And the norm is not to go that way. There's a lot of opinions against his opinion. And that, yeah, we're going based on what they said. And that's why, again, this other rabbi showed up on Yom Kippur and he said it's Yom Kippur. And he said, it's okay because the Babylonians said this is the way it is. And we're going by the rabbis.
That, it brings up the question, is there an inherent holiness to the day itself?
Well, not only that, but there's...
Well, no, what we learn on Pesach and Masechet Pesachim, we learned about when Rov Ha'am B'Tmeim, and they go ahead and do the Korban Pesach anyhow.
Right.
So then the people override the day or the
and the holidays in general were given to man to decide. Exactly. It's all up to us. Mekadesh Yisrael v'hasmanim. We have the power to decide the days. We're in control of the days. So if we're in control of the days, if there's two different opinions about it, you know, who's to say anyway what they said in Israel is more right than what they said in Bavel? It's not necessarily that one is absolute truth and one isn't. Right? The Babylonians obviously had their own reasoning. It was just that they said the Kiddush HaKodesh is going to happen in Israel in order to maintain unity, and also, as I mentioned earlier, in order for the rabbis in Israel to maintain control. There was an issue of smicha is only in Eretz Israel, and the burial in Israel started to be significant in that time because they were trying to keep their power. It was a power struggle. So it doesn't mean that one is right and one is wrong. What?
I say to keep things centralized.
Yeah, they want to keep things centralized.
If you don't have a center,
It's complicated.
And the further you get away.
Now, in those days, it wasn't as big a deal if the Babylonians were keeping one day and the Israelis were keeping a different day because they weren't next to each other, right? They weren't in touch with each other. There were no emails. There were no, right? Nowadays, can you imagine? It would be, right? Already it's strange when we want to email people in America on the second day Yantif and... Right. You know, it's a whole issue, you know, about emailing people who aren't religious who won't respond to you. You know, you can't
send emails.
Right, exactly. You can't send emails.
Except for the Karaim. that are here in Israel, and on a very quiet level, they celebrate Shavuot.
Right, they have their own. Right. Exactly.
And
right, the Shomronim have their own calendar.
Not the Shomronim.
No.
The
Shomronim also have.
Yeah, but the Shomronim aren't Jewish.
I see, you're saying the Karaim are Jewish.
Jewish.
Or,
you know.
Uh-huh.
Although
they
were considered
Shavuot.
Right, are they?
Because, first of all, they count because Sfirat HaOmer says Macharat HaShabbat,
right.
They start on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm. So then their Shavuot comes out a totally different day.
Comes out on a different day than us.
And they, to this day, celebrate Shavuot.
Absolutely. And they, and we can marry them. There's no problem. They're
I thought they established
the Rabbanut established that they're 100% Jews, except that whoever marries, it's called a Yehudi Karai or Yehudi Rabbani. The couple has to determine which they want to be. They have to declare.
That's so interesting.
And
but I thought
the
Karaim really don't marry outside of their own.
Sure, they intermarry just like everyone else does. Okay, we're going to get back to the Gemara, but that's very interesting.
You can visit them. Fascinating.
Okay. So now, let's keep reading.
It's not a big community.
I assume it's not a huge community.
No, it's hundreds. It's not even thousands,
uh-huh.
I think.
Right. Okay. Rav Nachman Yati Betanita Kule Yoma De Kippure. Here's a good story. Rav Nachman sat and fasted the whole day of Yom Kippur. Leorta, that evening, before he broke his fast, Atahu Gavra, a guy comes, Amarle, Lemachar Yom Araba Bama Araba. He says, tomorrow's Yom Kippur in Eretz Israel, just before the fast is over. Amarle, Mehechaat, he says, where do you come from? Amarle, Midam Haraya. Amarle, so Rav Nachman says, what does Rav Nachman say? You're from Dam Haraya, okay? What does he do? He darshans the name of the place he's from, and he says, Amarle, Dam Tehe Acharito. And he's talking about himself. He said, Damaraya, I'm darshaning that. That is a drasha for me. My end is going to be blood. In other words, I'm going to die. Kare ale, and then he says about this guy, Kalim hayu rodfenu. What does that mean, Kalim hayu rodfenu? The people who chased after us to kill us, right, are very fast. They're very fast. So what does he say? This guy was very fast. He came too early. Had he come tomorrow or later at night, I at least would have broken my fast and I wouldn't have died. But now you're putting me in sakana because now I have to fast 2 days. Okay, so he feels because this guy came, he had to fast 2 days, and he basically said, you know, too bad for me. You know, I'm now going to die.
Does he die?
I don't think he dies. I think he's just being extreme and saying, I can't believe this happened to me.
How
I'm
would
gonna
you
now
feel?
Have to sit and do this 2 days in a row. Now, Rav Nachman, so the question is, if he had come later, what would have happened? So there's two options. I mean, maybe there's more, but number one, he would have eaten, right? He would have had time to eat and then start fasting again,
mm-hmm.
right? Or he could have said, since he already kept Yom Kippur, there would be no reason for another one. But now, since he knows before Yom Kippur's fully over, now he's stuck and he has to keep. But clearly, it was evening already, so he couldn't you know,
eat.
Maybe it was like Banash Masha. It's unclear exactly. Okay.
I'm not sure when he would have time to eat exactly.
Well, if it's no longer Yom Kippur,
if he wanted to complete his Yom Kippur,
no, but he didn't.
He
no,
to
I'm saying maybe he doesn't need to complete his Yom Kippur at all.
Okay.
If it's not Yom Kippur, but it says it was already nighttime. You know, it was evening.
Oh, okay.
Shalach leRav Huna bar Avin leRava. Okay, Rav Huna bar Avin sends to Rava. Kadchazit demashka tkufat tevet ad shitzar benisa. Now we're moving into. Until now, we've been talking about months. Now we're talking about Ibor Shana, when you add an extra month. He says, at what point are we setting when you add another month? So he says, if you see that Mashchat Kufat Tevet, that the spring equinox isn't going to happen until Ad Shitzar B'Nisan, until the 16th of Nisan. Okay, the spring equinox is the day that it turns into spring. If you see that that's not going to happen until after the 16th of Nisan, or some people say, including, not including the 16th, past the 16th, before the 16th, anyway, around the 16th, Abra Lahu Shata, that's when we make the new month, we add a new month. The lo tachushlem, we're not concerned that we're making a mistake. Dichtiv shamor et chodesh ha'aviv, shamor aviv shel tkufa sheyehe b'chodesh Nisan. They want to make sure that spring comes out in Nisan. Now, what do you mean? If spring comes out, if the spring equinox is the after the 16th, it's still going to be in Nisan. But they explain this to mean through the first half of Nisan. The spring has to come out in the first half of Nisan. Okay, so therefore, that's how you know when to be ma'aber shana. Now we're going to talk about people who are on the water, okay? People who are traveling, and they're traveling on the sea, and they don't have any connection with human beings who can give them messengers who are going to come and tell them. So how do they determine for themselves? So here, right, on the one hand, you don't want to tell people you have the power to determine for yourself. On the other hand, there's going to be people who need to determine by themselves, because otherwise they're going to be stuck. So he gives them a sima. You who aren't going to know about the kviya diarche, ki chazitu sihara demashlim liyoma beiru chamra. When you see that you can see the moon an entire night, the whole night from sunset to sunrise, that's the day you know that you're supposed to be mevaer your chametz, meaning that'll be the 14th. Now the Gemara says, "Emat mashlim." When does that happen? That you can see it the entire night. You can see the moon bechameshsar, not on bechamisar, not on the 14th, but the 15th. V'ha'ana me'arbasar mevarinan, and we do it on we do biur chametz on the 14th. So why do you tell them? So what does he say? Lididhu de megalilhu alma me'arbasar mashlim. When you're out in the water, you can see much better than when you're in a city. So he says, for those people, it's on the 14th that you can see it all night. Okay, interesting. So they can see it earlier. Okay, now we're going to get to the Mishnah that we already saw, which is Al Shnei Chodashim Mechalalim Et HaShabbat Al Nisan V'Al Tishrei Shebahem Shluchim Yotzim L'Suria. Okay, for these 2 months we can be Mechalal Shabbat, Nisan and Tishrei. Why? Because the Shluchim go out to Suria. Okay, some people say it's not necessarily just Suria. Suria means that's the closest place to Israel. They go out of the country, basically, on their way to Bavel. Ubahem mitzaknim et ha-mo'adot, and those are the ones that are crucial for setting the holidays. Ukashaya beit hamikdash kayam mechalalim af al kulam mipnei takanat ha-korban, and this is what we learned. Since they brought sacrifices in the time of the beit hamikdash, they needed also to know what korban, and therefore the shlichim also went on those days. Now the Gemara is going to ask, ashnei chodeshim betulo, only on 2 months and not any more than that. Uraminu, it says in the other Mishnah that we learned, the Mishnah Bet. Al shisha chodesh, or it was Dalet, actually. Gimel. Al shisha chodeshim ashluchim yotzim. 6 months, the shluchim go out. Remember? On Nisan because of this. On Adar, because, right? I gave a whole list of six. So why does it say only on two because the shluchim are yotzim l'suria? They went for 6 months, not for 2 months, the shluchim went out. Amar abaye hachi kamar. Al kulan shluchim yotzim iba'erev. Al Nisan val tishre ad shishmu mi beitim mikudash. There's two different types of shlichim that go out. Some shlichim go out at night. What does it mean at night? Kiddush HaChodesh can never happen at night. Why? Because the Beit Din doesn't sit at night. The Beit Din only sits during the day, and you're only allowed to be Mechadesh LaChodesh during the day. It's a very important naftamina lahalacha. If you forget to say Yalav Yavo in your tefillah, you have to go back, and you have to repeat Shemona Esrei. But not at night. At night, you don't have to go back because Eim Kachin HaChodesh Balala, even when it's the night of the second night, where you've already said it's Rosh Chodesh, even on the second night, they were Kovea Aklal, right? That you, since Kiddush HaChodesh never happened at night, in Arvit, you don't have to go back. So now, what does he say? When the Shlichim knew that it was, basically, there's this constant issue between what people knew and what the Beit Din says. So people basically knew it was going to be Rosh Chodesh, but despite that, people would come. They would come to the Beit Hamikdash. They would testify, and the Beit Hadin would say Mikudash. So they say on a regular month, the shlichim already could go out in the evening, knowing full well that it's going to be Rosh Chodesh. But in Nisan and Tishrei, they wanted people to hear from the Beit in Mikudash because it was so important to set the dates right. They wanted to make sure that it's unclear exactly why, but it could be they wanted to make sure there were absolutely no mistakes. And therefore, for those 2 months, they wanted people to wait. The shlichim never went out at night. And that was the difference between the shlichim there and the shlichim there.
But I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But do you realize that they're letting these people be Mechalel Shabbat so that other people won't be Mechalel Shabbat?
Okay. So now, first of all, not Shabbat, but Yantif, right? So yeah. Other people won't be Mechalel Yantif. Okay. So now, we're going to get into what does it mean, Al Shnei Chodeshim Mechalelin Et HaShabbat? Okay? Who's Mechalel Shabbat? So is it the people who, the shlichim, or is it, right, it sounds like it's the shlichim, but if you look at Rashi, he says, no, Eidim Shabbat Uat HaChodesh. It's only the witnesses who saw the new moon are allowed to be Mechalel Shabbat, and not the people who are coming to be Mekadesh. Now, the Rambam says, Dafka the opposite. The Rambam says, now he doesn't paskin this way because nobody agreed with him, but he says, no, it's the shlichim that can be Mechalel Shabbat and not the Eidim. The Eidim can't be Mechalel Shabbat, but the shlichim can be Mechalel Shabbat. But most people say the shlichim actually can't be, but the Eidim, because the Eidut was so important They allowed Edim to be Mechalel Shabbat because that would really mess up the day. The Shlichim aren't messing up any day. It's just getting information to people. And therefore, they can't be Mechalel Shabbat. But the Edim, if the Edim don't come, then the Beit Din can't say the month is Mikudash, and that will mess up the whole calendar. So the Shlichim going out might make people make some mistakes, but it won't mess up the calendar Bichlal. So in order, so most people say the Chilul Shabbat is only allowed for setting the date because that's a supreme importance, but the Shlichim are not.
There's an opinion here that basically says that the Mishnah is listing each item as its own thing without connecting one to the next. That they're saying that it's the witnesses may desecrate Shabbat.
That's one thing.
The messengers go out, and the messengers go out to Syria. Mm-hmm. In which case,
right, the Chilul Shabbat really goes on the witnesses and not...
But also
the Chilul Shabbat... No, but it says, Al Shnei Chodeshim Mechalalin Et HaShabbat. You can't say that. It says, Al Shnei Chodeshim.
Right.
That's hard to say. But some people say that it was really mutar for everybody to be Mechalal Shabbat. It was mutar for on all the months. But the Chachamim limited it. They didn't want this big Chilul Shabbat to go on. So they limited it just to those 2 months because of the importance. What's the importance of them? Because the pasuk says, "Ela moadei Hashem mikra'i kodesh asher tikru'u otam b'moadam." Some people say that the mitzvah here isn't to be mekadesh the moadim; it's to determine the date of the moadim. That pasuk is talking about the mitzvah to determine the date of all the holidays, and that's a mitzvah that's very important. And because that mitzvah is so important, we allow it to be done l'chalel et haShabbat, right?
But the Torah doesn't let you do other mitzvot and be Mechalel Shabbat to do those other mitzvot.
Certain mitzvot, for sure. Brit Milah can be Mechalel Shabbat, uh-huh. Right? In other words, Korbanot, there's a lot of mitzvot that are Doche uh-huh. Shabbat. So, right, so they're saying this is up there with those. Uh-huh. Okay? Okay, so now, let's go on. Tanya Nami Hachi, there's a braita that supports this. Al kulan yotzimi ba'erev, al nisan v'al tishrei, ad shishme'u mipibetim mekudash. Okay, so again, you have this clear-cut distinction. The 2 months, you just can't, right, you can't go, the shlichim wouldn't go out during the day, they wouldn't go out at night, they would wait until they heard mipibetim mekudash. And that's probably because of this mitzvah, right, that you have to call, right, you have to know for sure about the chagim. Because that's the importance of that pasuk. Tana Rabbanan, minayin shemechalalin alehen et haShabbat, and here we get it directly, okay, the question, how is it mechalal Shabbat? Talmud lamar, eile moadei Hashem asher tikru'u otam b'moadam. Okay, it says this pasuk. Now they're going to darshan the pasuk. Yachol kashem shemechalalim ad sheyitkadshu, kach mechalalim ad sheyitkaimu. Right, you have to figure out how the Rambam understood this otherwise, but anyway, we'll leave that as a question. You might have thought, just like you could be mechalal Shabbat, in order to make the Kodesh Kodesh, right? In order the Edim are allowed, who saw the new moon. Kach mechalalin ad sheyitkaimu. You're allowed to continue to be mechalel until the people will actually hear about it, right? Tamud lamar, asher chikru otam. Al kriyatam atam mechalel, vi'i atam mechalel akiyumam. It's asher chikru otam. The mitzvah is to call them. Once you call them, it's a whole different thing to let people know about it. Okay, there's a distinction, just like we said before. Ukishaya beta migdash kayam, mechalalim afa kulam, mipne takanada korban. Tanu Rabbanan. Here we bring a braita, and we're going to see, again, this is really a historical thing. Okay, you can see what happened after the korban. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai was known for changing a lot of things, right? Once the beta migdash was no longer around, he was in charge, and he made a bunch of changes. Right? It's hard to make changes. We all know that. And when the situation, the reality changes, and there's no longer a temple, the time passes before everything starts to adjust, right? And somebody comes and says, okay, now we no longer need to do that. We need to change things. So that, he was very significant in that sense. So, barishona hayu mechalalim afa kulam. There'll be mechalal Shabbat for all the months. Mishecharav beit hamikdash amar lahem Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. Bechi yesh korban? Right? Does it really matter if we don't know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is? Hitzkinu shelo yuhu mechalalin ela al nisan v'al tishrei bilvad. Okay, so therefore, what could happen in theory? If the witnesses don't come Friday night, right? What will happen? They'll come Sunday morning, and they'll say, Friday night, we saw the molad, we saw the new moon. Right? Not the molad, right? The molad is before the new moon comes out. So when they come and say, we saw the new moon, they'll say, okay, fine. So now it turns out Rosh Chodesh was Shabbat, Shabbat, and today is Bet. No problem. It doesn't matter anymore. When there was a korban in the Beit HaMikdash, they needed to know. They didn't want to miss the opportunity to bring the sacrifice. No, we don't no longer have a sacrifice. It's okay. Okay, new Mishnah. Bein shenir eba aliyah, bein shelonir eba aliyah, mechalin alav et haShabbat. Whether you see it clearly or you don't see it clearly, okay, the new moon. One second.
What if it's very cloudy? Right.
Right. So even if you're not, I guess the issue is, I think it's here that you're just not sure, right? Yeah. So either way, you come and you're Mechalel Shabbat and you go to the Beit HaMikdash, to the Beit Din to testify. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Im Nir Eba Aliyah, Ein Mecha'ah. Right, that was the issue. I'm sorry, now I remember. If it's totally clear that you've seen the new moon, right? Let's say you're sitting in your house and it's so obvious to you that there's a new moon. So what do you say to yourself? I don't need to be Mechalel Shabbat because somebody else will. It's obvious to everybody. The people who are sitting in Yerushalayim will just go to the Beit HaMikdash and they'll testify. So the first opinion says it doesn't matter. No matter what, you're Mechalel Shabbat. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, Im Nir Eba Aliyel, E Mechalelin Alav Et HaShabbat. Even if it's totally, totally clear, you're still Mechalel Shabbat. Maaseh, she Avru Yoter Me'arba'im Zug. There were 40 groups of witnesses, right? 40 couples of two going to the Beit HaMikdash or to the Beit HaDin. V'ikvam Rabbi Akiva Belod. And Rabbi Akiva stopped them in Lod. And he said, listen, it's great that you're all going, but we don't need so many people. So don't be Mechalel Shabbat. Shalach la Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel got very angry at him. And he said, Im ma'akev atah et harabim, nimtzit machshilan la'atid lavo. If you tell them not to go this time, the next time they won't go. And next time we won't have witnesses. So he said, because of that greater value, we're going to allow even 40 zugot of witnesses to go. Now they're going to try to understand linguistically what's this word alil. Okay, and from here we're going to get off the topic a little bit, and for the end of today, my mashma dehay alil lishna demiglehu. How do you know that the word alil means that it's revealed, that it's obvious? Amar v'yabao amar kra imrot Hashem. This is a pasuk from Tehilim. Imarot Hashem imarot tahorot kesef tzaruf ba'alil la'aretz mezukak shivatayim. The words of God are like refined silver that are clear to all of the land, and it's pure shivatayim, right? Seven times pure. So that's where you see it. Now they're going to darshan this pasuk. Rabbi Shmuel, now they're going to darshan the shivatayim. What's shivatayim? Seven times seven, right? 49. Rabbi Shmuel, chan amar chamishim sha'arei bina nevru ba'olam. It's very relevant because a lot of people connect this pasuk to Shavuot. And the 49 and the 50th, right? The 50th day is like the Holy of Holies. It's like the Yovel. Okay, we've gotten to this. If you notice, if you look in some Siddurim, they connect it all to the Sfirot, and there's these 49, right? It's very Kabbalistic idea. So Rav Shmuel, Chanamar, Chamishim Sha'arei Bina Nivru'u Ba'olam, V'kulan Nitznu L'Moshe Chaser Echad. Moshe Rabbeinu got all the Sha'arei Bina except for one. In other words, God basically gave him what God had. These all, right, what God created, these 50 Sha'arei Bina minus one. Shene'emar, v'chtachzureyu ma'at me'elohim. Okay, it's a pasuk in Tehilim. It's saying he had a drop less than God. So what's a drop? Some people darshan mem tet, ma'at, forgetting the ayin, right? Mem tet is 49. In other words, he had just one less than God had. Now they darshan these other pasukim. Bikesh Kohelet limso divrei chepetz. This is a pasuk from Kohelet. He wanted to find divrei chepetz. So they say, what is that divrei chepetz? Bikesh Kohelet liyot kemoshe. He wanted to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Yatzta bat kol v'amralo. They say to him, v'katuv yosher divrei emet. Okay, the words, the end of that pasuk is Bikesh Kohelet limso divrei chepetz, v'katuv yosher divrei emet. So the end of that pasuk they darshan. What does that mean? That in the book of the Torah, it speaks truth. That's what they told Kohelet. When Kohelet wanted to see the truth, they said to him, the truth is found in the Torah, and what does it say in the Torah? V'lokam navi o b'Yisrael kemoshe. You can't be like Moshe, because go look in the Torah, and it says, no one else is going to ever be like Moshe. That's one train of thought. So one opinion says, Moshe had these 49 levels of Binah, And nobody else got up to him. Even Kohelet tried to, and he couldn't. He was told no. Bechad amar, b'nevi'im lo kam, but b'melachim kam. The darshan that pasuk gemara, they say there was no Navi like Moshe, but there was a Melech like Moshe. And therefore, how do you explain the pasuk then? Elamani makayem, b'kesh Kohelet l'msot v'rechefetz. B'kesh Kohelet something else. What did he want to do? This is a great... B'kesh Kohelet ladun dinim shebalev. He wanted to be able to see what people were thinking inside. It reminded me of this book that I have from my kids. It's called HaMachshavot Shamaya, where a girl wants everyone to know her thoughts. She gets frustrated that nobody knows what she wants. Her mother asks everyone, what do you want to wear? What do you want to eat? What do you want this? And she gets frustrated. And then she gets her wish. Everybody knows her thoughts. And then what happens? It drives her crazy because she's thinking, oh, I'm bored during circle time and gone. And then the teacher gets angry at her that she's bored. And she, you know, and then her mother, you know, her brother knows she's about to go on the swing and her brother grabs the swing before her. She realizes it's not necessarily such a good thing. Anyway, Kohelet decided, I want to know what people are thinking inside. Okay, it's exactly that wish. I want to know, right? It's the opposite. Not that I want people to know what I'm thinking. I want to know what people are thinking. Shelo be'edim v'shelo b'hatra'ah. It's this system of edim and hatra'ah is basically to compensate for the fact, and this is a great line, right? It's all about our system of law is based on a lot of assumptions. He said, how can I run a court based on assumptions? I'm assuming since there were no witnesses and there were no hatra'ah, so it didn't happen? I know it happened. So I want to know, did he really know? Did he know what he was doing? Was it fully, right? Did he have... So that will make my court run much smoother. Yatztabat kov amra lo, v'chatuv yosher divrei emet, al pishnayim edim yakum davar. In other words, this is the system. That's the truth. You can't know the machshavot of people. You have to live with the system, right? It's a great line because it's really, you know, we search for truth all the time. And that's all he wanted. He wanted to just be able to do true judgment. And he was told, nope, there's a system. And the system is more important. Sometimes not knowing truth, right? Sometimes like this book, knowing everybody's thoughts has a lot of dangerous, things, right? So sometimes you think something's good, but there's a flip side, and there's dangers inherent in it, and that's what he's told in the end, that we have a system, and you have to believe in the system, and the system will work itself out, right? And even if there's mistakes sometimes, we discuss this a lot, right? Sometimes the system might have mistakes, but there's a system, and that is for the better of the people. That's the way a human system has to work. We can't look into the minds of other people.
Thank goodness.